Matthew 25. Open it. Verse 1. Matthew 25. Then, that word then, that is future, and that then is now. That is then means at that time. It's talking of a future event. And the Lord Jesus Christ was referring to this end of time. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. They went forth to do what? To meet the bridegroom. Those who have given their life to Christ, the lamp is the word of God. They received the word, supposedly gave their life to Christ, and they are waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what that verse 1 is saying. Verse 2, and 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And this is what made them wise or foolish. Verse 3, they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. That is a group of Christians that have the Bible, they have the word of God, but the spirit that enables them to understand this word and live according to this word, they didn't have it. That is the oil. That is the oil, the spirit of revelation. And the spirit that gives you the enablement to live true to the revelation you have. It is one thing to know that God is a holy God. Without holiness, no man can see God. It is one thing to know it that is true, but the enablement to live a holy life, it comes by an anointing. It comes by a power. That is what the Bible is referred to there as the oil. But the wise, verse 4, took oil in their vessels with their lamps. The vessels there is your human self, body, soul, and spirit. Paul was telling Timothy, say, in a great house, there are many vessels. That great house is the church of Jesus Christ. He says, some vessels are vessels unto honor, and some vessels unto dishonor. Which vessel are you? Amen. Verse 5, they were all going to meet the Lord. Some had revelation. Some didn't have revelation. 5 had revelation. 5 did not have oil, revelation. But they are all expecting the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5, while the bridegroom tarried, he has tarried all this while till now. For the past 2,000 years he left. They all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, the condition of the church, the darkest hour, there was a cry made, a ministry sprang up. The shout, a cry. What did he say? Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Hallelujah. Go ye out to meet him. There is a ministry that will spring up in the darkest hour of apostasy. We are all Christians sleep because the Lord tarries. Because it looks as if he has waited too long. As if he will not come again. Everybody relaxed in their Christian faith. It's because we relax. The Bible says we should watch and pray. If the church, they were watching and praying, worldliness would not have entered the church. Worldly fashions would not have entered the church. If we were watching and praying, fornicators will not be comfortable in the church. For one night, we will not find any church address for fear. Because they will be exposed. But instead of watching, amen, they all slumbered and sleep. But at that midnight, there was a ministry that the Lord raised up, screaming, behold, the bridegroom coming. A ministry that is telling the bride of Jesus Christ, Christ is soon coming. Wake up! He's coming. And that is the ministry of William Marion Branham. The shout in this age that God raised up to tell the people, come out of error. Come out of slumber. Come out of your sleep. You have been dreaming. Better face reality now. He's coming. It's more than real than ever before. But now watch what happened. Then all those virgins, verse 7, arose and trimmed their lamps. You see? And if you look at it, every church now, everybody now, everybody, we are the Word. We are the Word. We are the Word. Yes, we are the Word. We are the Word. You know what I mean? Verse 8. And the foolish said, hallelujah. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, when they say, for our lamps are gone out, hallelujah, it gives you a picture of a condition where you will see a Christian, a sincere Christian, very sincere. You know, he prays like anything, he evangelizes. You know a Christian when you see him, by their fruit you will know them. But see, somebody so sincere in his Christian life, yet when you begin to talk to him, come brother, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? They will tell you, I speak in tongue. It is a condition where these same people who claim they are virgins will have to come to you now again for revelation. A situation where you will look at them and you will pity them, see how sincere they are, but that is where they stop. They've not gone further than their sincerity. In the knowledge of the depth of the mystery of salvation. Nothing. They know nothing. But the wise, verse 9, the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. That is a situation where you will not have time even for them. Why? You are telling somebody, baptism is in the name of Jesus. He will tell you, but the Bible says, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Father, Son. Simple revelation, they are wasting your time. What is your attitude towards those ones? We say, Abel, brother, God bless you. Thank you. See you. Go to your bishop. He will teach you. That is the attitude here. Because remember, this same midnight cry is also the evening light gospel. And the evening light gospel has no time. There's no more time. So there's no. You don't have time to sit down and be explaining to somebody about holiness. Somebody is telling me, show me in the Bible, pastor, where they say you should not, woman should not wear earring, woman should not palm, a woman should not wear trouser. And show me in the Bible. The thing there is, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The truth is this. Before I can show you, you will understand. Revelation chapter 3. Go to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. I'm talking to the bride. We have our language. See the condition. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. This seventh church age. There's a word there that I want to borrow for this explanation. There's a word there. This is the seventh church age, and this is the Laodicean church age. That is from verse 14 of Revelation chapter 3. It's the message to this age. And then see the condition of this church as the Spirit was looking at the church of Jesus Christ in this end of time. Remember, this is the age that the church has become the richest. They calculate their budget by billions every year. Some churches are richer than some state governments in their annual budgets. Now this is the age where pastors now have private jets. This is the church age now, hallelujah, where flamboyance. I have seen, hallelujah, a car dealer that specializes in special cars. I saw it in the newspaper, and he was saying, see the people that ride our cars. See the people that come to us, our customers. And 3/4 of the names that were written there were names of pastors. Why? Because they are rich. But see what the Spirit of God said concerning them. Verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. That is what they are saying. But see what the Spirit is telling them who you are. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. This is how the Holy Ghost is looking at us in this church age. Now, the word I want to borrow is in verse 18. He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And, that's where I'm going, anoint thy eyes with eyesalve, that thou mayest see. Why? That is the word. That eyesalve, that is the word. In this age, you need an eyesalve to be able to understand even water baptism. And as long as that eyesalve is not applied, you are wasting your time to a denominational man, no matter how sincere he is. And instead of going for the eyesalve so that their eye may see to know what is happening in this age concerning home going, they will not. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 10. Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Let's continue. Verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Now, this is the first gathering in. They that were ready, hallelujah, went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Church, the door was shut. Which door? It's not the door of heaven that was shut. There is a gathering in now that is entering into a place, a room, where God can begin to reveal himself. It is the door of revelation. That a stage is going to come where the bride will reach a stage where they will be gathered in, and the door of revelation will be closed. No matter what anybody else does, there will be no more revelation. No matter what they try, they will never understand anymore. It is the door of revelation that will be closed. It's not the door of heaven being closed, because the process of going in the rapture, they are stage by stage. Verse 11. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. But they are sincere. That's why they are called virgins. They don't fornicate. They don't steal. They are serious workers in the church. They are evangelists. They do it. Look, they will not stand all over. They fast more than the Pharisees. They fast more than select people fast. You know, no church fast like them. Amen. They fast. They do everything. Amen. But here you are, you come to a point where God himself will say, I don't know you. And then he added, watch. Tell your neighbor, watch. Tell him. Don't be afraid. Anytime I tell you, tell your neighbor something. Tell him confidently. Tap him for shoulder and say, watch. Thank you. He said, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Luke chapter 13. He said it in another language here that is very wonderful. From verse 24. Hear what the Lord Jesus Christ was saying. Are we there? Luke chapter 13. See the way he put it to every one of us. He said, from verse 24, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Strive here, that is struggle to enter. I think people give the impression of the simplicity of Christianity. Oh, God is a good God. Oh, God is a good God. This is the Holy Ghost himself speaking, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's telling you and I, strive, struggle to enter in through, in at the straight gate. The straight gate, there's the rough gate, the rough Christian way. There are two ways. Matthew chapter 7 tells us, two gates. One is wide, the other one is straight and narrow. Struggle and enter. And this is why he said, for many, I say unto you, we seek to enter in and shall not be able. Many, we try, we struggle to enter. They will not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up, when does he stand up? When Revelation chapter 10, reading from verse 1, that archangel that stood up with a book, one leg on the sea, one leg on the land. Why did he stand up? Revelation chapter 8, verse 1 says that when the seventh seal was opened, there was silence in heaven for how long? 30 minutes. And I explained to you on Friday night, those 30 minutes was because for 2,000 years, the Lord Jesus Christ had been sitting on the mercy seat, interceding for you and I. The Bible calls him our advocate. He's the mediator between God and man. Stephen saw him sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and for me. He will be there until the last elect comes in. When he comes in, he stands up. And remember, hallelujah, the seat now is going to change. It was a mercy seat. It is going to change to a seat of judgment. The next stage, the next program is going to change. Somebody who has been sitting down for 1,000 years suddenly stands up. The whole host of heaven keep quiet to see what in Oga won't do. That is what brought those 30 minutes silence in heaven. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I remember he starts off with a book. And it's a book of redemption. The book we saw in Revelation chapter 5. That no man was able, worthy to receive it from the hand of he that sat upon the throne. Hallelujah. The great eternal spirit had a book sealed front and back with seven seals. There was something in there that pertained to salvation that the bride of Jesus Christ needed to know. And no man was able to collect it. John was crying. He was weeping because he knew there's something in that book that pertained to salvation that we need to know. And no man on earth was worthy. Why? Because every man, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us that were born by the instrument of a man and a woman, we came here. None was qualified. Oh, God tried Abraham. Abraham failed. God tried Moses. Moses failed. He tried David. David failed with his weaknesses. Samson failed with his weaknesses. Saul failed with his weaknesses. He came down. No man was able to open that book that had the secret of redemption that we must know to be able to be saved. But while he was crying, the angel tapped and said, John, watch. Hallelujah. The lion of the tribe of Judah. The lion of the tribe of Judah. He said, he has prevailed. He had prevailed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. John turned and saw him like a lamb. Went to he that sat on the throne and collected the book. That book is what he had. Hey, it was a book of life with your names and my name written there. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord.
The second thing that is in that book that was sealed was the Antichrist movement that will move along the church ages. And how God will counter it, the secret was in that book. That is the sealed book. He was holding that book for this past 2,000 years. Now redemption is over. He stands up from that seat. No more redemption. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking here. Which verse are we reading? Luke chapter 13, verse 25. When once the master of the house is risen up, that is where he stands up, and has shut to the door. Because when he stands up, no more redemption for the Gentiles. Hallelujah. And you begin to stand without, foolish virgins, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence. Eh? I was prayer group leader. I was a prophet. Okay? Mighty miracles, signs and wonders. I was an intercessor. I had the home everywhere, every television station. They were seeing me every day now. I was a great teacher. We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, hallelujah, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When? Wow. Why will you gnash your teeth? Listen, church. When ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and brother Moses, and who else? And who else? And who else? And all the prophets. You see all of them in the kingdom of God. And you yourself, you are thrust out. And they shall come from the east, Igbo people, and from the west, Yoruba, and from the north, Nasarawa State, and from the south. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. I shall sit down in the kingdom of God. You will see them there. You who claim you are something, something, it will surprise you, because those who you thought will not make it, you will be surprised that they were the ones that will make it. That's what he's saying. That's why you will regret it. Hallelujah. It's important you catch that. He's gathering us into the room of revelation now. It is from there he will begin to tell us certain things through the seven thunders. You have to enter that room first. After you have entered that room, bam, because it was after he stood up, the door was locked. He cried out in Revelation chapter 10, and seven thunders uttered their voices after the door was closed. Do you catch something here? It was when he stands up, he closes the door. Now he's no more, for God so loved the world, go and baptize them. No more, don't any baptism again. He has finished. It is then he begins, amen, hallelujah, to reveal the thunders will begin to sound. Because the things, that's why I am saying something, church. Hallelujah. Listen, church. This is important. Very, very important. It is homegoing time. God has his program. Stage by stage. Listen, it starts with a shout that brings us out of the confusion that is in Christianity. Lines you back to the word. If you don't come out, you cannot go to the next stage. You have to hear the shout first. Then after the shout, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is after the shout that the next stage comes in, which is the voice of the archangel. That archangel there is the same angel of Revelation chapter 10. It's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That is the archangel that stands up. His voice. Which voice? He uttered his voice and seven thunders. You know, he cried and seven thunders uttered their voices. He cried with a loud voice, and seven thunders uttered their voices. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. That is, if you are not part of the shout, you can never be part of the seven thunders. Now, the shout brings you and prepares you with an anointing, because what the seven thunders, oh, blessed be the name of the Lord, what the seven thunders will say, they are not written anywhere. Revelation chapter 10, John heard what the seven thunders say. He was about to write, and the angel said, shut up, don't write. Seal it until the end time. That means only John is aware of what the seven thunders said. Only John, and he has died and gone, and it's not written anywhere. That's why anybody that says seven thunder is revealed, I'll look at you. Where did you see it? It's not revealed anywhere. Church, listen. This is a serious matter. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let me say something. This God we worship is a wonderful God. Hallelujah. You say, show me in the Bible where they say, don't wear earring. Don't dress like a prostitute. Because your pastor said it doesn't matter, you can dress anyhow. God is a good God. You know, God made you beautiful, so flaunt your beauty. Show them how flat your belly be or how big the belly be. Show them. Show them the color of your pants that you are wearing. Show them. It doesn't matter. Show them. Don't wear sleeves. Wear sleeveless dress so that they can see your breast from the side. You are beautiful. Show them. God is a good God. God is a good God. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter. Have you not heard the gospel that says, is your wife disturbing you? Divorce her. Drive her away. I'll give you another sister to marry. Don't let any devil trouble you. They say it. They don't care whether you pregnant the girl or not. You have seen, a sister came to me now. You are married. Why? When were you married? He said, 1 year ago I was married. Maybe the sister is here. You're hearing me now. He said, 1 year ago you were married. I said, why you never get picking? He said, no, we are still waiting to wed. I said, are you living with your husband? He said, we are waiting to wed. So I asked her, which wedding did they find again? And that is because that is how their church taught them. That's how the church taught them. You see, that is the kind of gospel people like. Pay your dowry, finish, let the girl sit down, enjoy on herself anytime on her life. Then when I feel calm, and then exchange vow for altar. That is why you see people coming to the altar pregnant. Because people don't even know the meaning of marriage. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Where is that brother that asked me a question about seven thunders on Friday? You are the one. Give me a microphone. Let them know, how did you come across William Branham?
No, the first stage was this. I had a dream
where were you worshipping?
I was worshipping a mountain of fire and miracles. So I had a dream where a lady came and gave me a parcel. And when I opened that parcel, it was 12 Bibles. So a voice quoted for me in that dream, Malachi 4:5. Hallelujah.
A voice spoke to you what?
Malachi
4:5. Hey! And you know what that scripture says?
So,
behold, I send you my servant Elijah the prophet. Hallelujah. Before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Go ahead.
So I went back to the pastor, one of the denominational pastors. He's a missionary. He was the one that led me to Christ. So I explained that meaning to him, because I wanted to go for water baptism in the mountain of fire, and I was undergoing a baptismal class. So he asked me to hold on, that it means God is sending another Elijah across my way. So, and I believe in prayer. So I began to pray. I said, Lord, I want to understand the meaning of this. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So 2 weeks later, I had another dream. So I saw William Branham with a pillar of fire.
Hey!
In the dream.
Glory!
Hallelujah.
Hey.
And he was preaching on the topic called marriage and divorce.
Marriage and divorce.
So he preached and told us, I told him in that dream that I should not mind what all these pastors are preaching. That when a man is married with more than one wife and is now coming to the Lord, that he should convince them and bring them to the Lord. And he should pray that they all should have the Holy Ghost.
Without you ever hearing us.
And
he received this revelation. William Branham was preaching that to him in a dream.